That's all right. As long as you guys fall asleep, I'll be all right. If you guys go to sleep, then I'll preach to myself. I got 30 minutes. That's what the clock says. I got some water too. That doesn't help me get settled down though. All right. I was thinking about doing a couple of things. I don't know if I'm sure about it now when you're up here. You got so many things coming to your mind when you're sitting over there. And a week ago, you said, man, I get to do this, I get to do this, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say that. But when you get up here, it's like, what am I supposed to be doing? So it's really scary. I got to preach one time in Texas, in the college I went. They let me preach, 20 minutes. And it was pretty interesting, pretty interesting. There's a lot of, even standing here, there's some more capable people that could stand up and preach right now. There's more people that are experienced at it, know their Bible a lot more than I would have now. But and when you stand in front of them, you kind of feel intimidated, which is all right. That's fine. But to stand and preach to a group of men that can preach a lot better than I know I can, because I heard them preach before, is very scary. Very scary. It's just like riding in a roller coaster. I hate riding a roller coaster. I hate that part when you go down. And I don't mind it when you go up, but the fact is that you have to go back down. And I know that when you go back, when you go up, it's a little bit slower, so you can prepare yourself. But when it goes down, they don't wait for you to get ready. They just go down. And you can't hardly catch your breath in the way. But so I get a little bit scared. Let me do a little bit of something different here. I'm going to sing to you. That's a little bit different, right? It's something to do with the message I'm preaching today. It's not going to be too long, but let me sing this to you. The message is not going to be long at all, but I hope it'll be helpful. I don't know what's in the situation in your life when you came in those doors. I don't know what happened before here. I don't know what you're going through, but maybe I can be an encouragement to you today. Far away in dark depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial like strain it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweet over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul. So secure that no power can mine it away, while the years of eternity roll. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweet over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and His glory is flooding my soul. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweet over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. And methinks when I rise to that city of peace, where the author of peace I shall see, that one strain of the song which doth ransom will sing, in that heavenly kingdom shall be. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweet over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Soul, are you here without comfort and rest, marching down the rough pathway of time? Make Jesus your friend ere the shadows grow dark. Oh, accept this sweet peace so sublime. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweet over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 7. The peace of God is wonderful. And you know you have it. Nobody else can say you don't if you do have it. And I'm going to talk about that just a little bit. You know, we got the peace of our salvation. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you have the peace that one of these days you'll see Him. One of these days you'll see His blessed face. That's the peace that God gives through our salvation. I'm going to speak about that a little bit. But I'm talking about the peace that God gives you as a Christian, as a child of God, while you're walking on this earth. You know, trials come to good and bad people. Heartache comes to good and bad people. Health problems come to good and bad people. The tribulation, the sorrow of the world comes to good and bad, because all of us have a part in this cursed world. We live in it. We breathe the air. We drink the water. We walk on the road, we walk on the sidewalk, we drive, we do what other people do that might not know Jesus as their Savior. Yes, we have that peace because we know when we die we're going to heaven. Not because of what we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. And we have that peace. And I'm going to talk about that. If you don't have that peace, I ask you, you can have that peace. And I tell you from God's Word, He'll give you that peace. The peace that passeth all understanding. But I'm talking about something else tonight. A peace that each and every one of us could have as Christians. The peace in living. You know, we have a life to live. If Jesus saved us, and He did save us, if He wanted us to live in the life of ease, in the life of flowery beds, then I would assure you He would have taken us up to heaven. But He didn't choose to do that. He left us on earth. Because the work is not done yet. There is others that need the peace that you have, the peace of salvation. And we need to go tell people that. But in life, we suffer through many things. The storms of life come. And it's hard. And it's horrible. And it destroys lives sometimes. And it makes us bitter sometimes if we don't get the right hold on it. And I hope that I'll prevent some people from getting bitter at God. Because it's not God that sends the storms. The storm was sent when Adam and Eve took of that fruit. The curse of this life. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 7. The Bible tells us, let me read verse 1 so you can catch up. But 2 Timothy chapter number 1 verse 7. Let me start in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy brother, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. Let me get a pause there, a side note maybe. I don't know much of anything, but I notice that there's not any mention of a father figure there. Maybe there's some hope for those that don't have a father, earthly father. You notice what Paul says, my dearly beloved son, in verse number 2. Timothy, my dearly beloved son. I believe Paul not only witnessed to this man called Timothy, but he raised him and nurtured him and grew him up in the Lord Jesus. And he called him my beloved son. So in essence, if you don't have a father figure, you might be here a young lady or a young man, and you don't have a good father on earth. I tell you this, you can find somebody by first finding the Lord Jesus. And then when you find the Lord Jesus, you end up in a church like this, and there's somebody that might want to take care of you. Somebody that might help you in your spiritual life. I tell you, I see that happen over and over again. Somebody will take a young man or a young lady in their hands, a lady with a lady, a young man with a man, and they take them up and raise them up. Or a father to a a young lady. Just gives them advice. Just helps them up along the way. Look at this in verse 6. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Paul was hindered in his ministry now since he's in prison. And he talked to Timothy and said, hey, it's up to you now. You're the one that's going to grow this church. I can't do it anymore. I'm in prison. But don't be afraid. Imagine what Timothy felt like. This was his hero, Paul, his father figure, now in prison. What is he going to do now? Imagine what fear he had. Am I going to run this church? Remember the Bible talks about, to talk to Timothy, said, be thou an example to the believers. Young man, be thou an example to the believers. He's talking to Timothy. He was a young man. See, us young men don't get to look with respect most of the time, even though we're good kids, or even though we're trying to do right. It comes to time. People don't trust us as they would trust somebody that's older than us. It's just a fact of life. It doesn't matter if you're good. It doesn't matter if you're bad. They just don't get to trust you. Because they say, well, he's a good kid, but he never really suffered this. How could I put my trust in him if he never suffered something like this? I don't know what he would do. Would he bend, or he would give up on time? But somebody that is old has suffered through things. They have children. They know how to raise a family. They have a wife. They know how to take care of a wife. And they have those experiences, and we as men tend to look at those and say yes. And that's what Timothy was afraid of. I don't think he didn't mention here that he was married, although it talks about a bishop and the deacon having one wife, so I imagine he might be getting married or he might be already married. I'm not sure. It didn't say about it. But nonetheless, it says this, God has not given us a spirit of fear. But of what? It gives us the power of love and of a sound mind. Of a sound mind. You know, there's an incident in the Bible, if you turn there, John chapter number 19, sorry. John chapter number 19 and verse 20. There's a story here, and we're familiar with it. This is when Jesus Christ rose again from the grave. He rose again from the grave. I'm sorry, it's verse chapter 20 and verse 19. But he rose again from the grave. And Mary Magdalene, previously, before we read this passage, she went to the tomb to do their ministering, or their, you know, giving gifts and putting on incense and so forth to make the place look nice, just like ladies would do. But she came and found out that the stone that covered the tomb where Jesus laid was gone. It was rolled away. It was rolled away. And they found that Jesus was not there anymore. She wasn't there. And they found two angels sitting down, and the angel said, why are you looking over here? He's not here anymore. And then Mary turned around and saw a man who Jesus was that man, but she didn't recognize him and said, oh, this must have been the gardener that she thought was the gardener. And she asked him the question. And then the gardener is supposed to be, which is Jesus, said to her, Mary. And when Jesus said Mary, she knew it was. But she was excited, and Mary was going to go, you know, give him a hug and say, man, it's nice to see you again. And Jesus said, well, I'm not ascended to my Father yet. Go tell my brethren, which is the disciples. And this is where we come in. Verse 19 of John chapter number 20. Verse 19, it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for thy word that you have given us. We thank you, Lord, that we can open it. And Lord, we can find help in the time of need. I have no idea, Lord, the people that are in this room. I know them by name, surely I do. Some of them. Some of them I don't know. Some of them, this is the first time I ever saw them. Lord, I don't know their heartaches. I don't know what background they come from. I don't know if they have the peace of salvation that you give. And if they're saved, I don't know if they have the peace that you give us, Christian people, as we live this life. Lord, I pray that I'll be a help to them. Some of them are going and embarking into different things. Some are maybe going to the military. Some are probably finding trying to find a life's mate and get married. Some probably starting a new leaf and getting a new job. Somebody might have a struggle in health. Something else and something else that life brings us. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to present this clearly and, Lord, and understandably, that they may understand, Lord, that God, that you, God, want them to have peace. Lord, and a peace that doesn't come because it feels good, it feels right. But, Lord, a peace that is unexplainable. A peace, Lord, that even life's trial has overcome them and they're on their knees, seems like, they can still have peace. I want, Lord, to explain that just a little bit. Lord, Holy Spirit of God, please work in the life of the people here. I pray, Lord, some of them might be tired, and some of them, Lord, are not, in the physical, Lord, ready to hear this. But, Lord, I pray that you'd catch their ears. Catch their ears, Lord. And I pray that they'll get something. We thank you and bless you so much in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, the Bible talks about, this is another sad incident. The disciples, their hero. Jesus said, I'm the king of the Jews. When they asked them, Pilate asked them, and Herod asked them, art thou the king of the Jews? Thou sayest it. That's what Jesus said. He was the king of the Jews, but not what they thought it was. See, under this time, they were under the Roman rule. And they thought that Jesus, their Messiah, would come to take them away from that Roman rule and set up his earthly kingdom. And we know that's going to happen on his second coming. First, he's going to take us. He's going to rapture us so that we can get on our white horses, so that we can come back with him on our white robes. That would be so exciting. I don't know if that's exciting for you. Maybe it's not, but that will be exciting for me. I'll be riding on a white horse. Maybe I'm behind you. Maybe you're in front of me. Maybe I'm in front of you, whatever. But it's going to be a great time because the King of Kings is coming and the Lord of Lords is coming back. And if you're not excited about that, sorry, that's your problem. But let me tell you, the peace of God I have. You know what? People don't have peace. Sometimes a Christian don't have peace simply because they have sin in their life. I'm going to start preaching really good now. I better be careful with this. Okay. Very careful with this. Sin. You know what sin does? Sin hinders you of a fellowship that God can have with you. We don't have to worry about relationship. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our soul has been sealed by the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, the seal of promise. We're set, we're on our way to heaven, and it doesn't matter what we do now. It doesn't matter if we get caught with this. It doesn't matter if we die. It's not a reason to do those things, but it doesn't matter. Death to us is gain. Hallelujah. If I die, I'm in heaven. To me, to live is gain. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. I'll see Jesus. But peace on earth. Don't just, because you think about that ahead, don't just kind of roam on earth. It's a blessed life to have. Life on earth is beautiful. It's wonderful. If you have the peace of God while you're on earth. We have the peace of God. We're going to heaven. I'm excited about that, guys. But hey, I'm excited about living on earth. You say, you're a crazy nut. You don't have to have bills. You don't have house payments yet. You don't have this. You don't have medical bills. You don't have to pay for insurance. Yeah, you're right. And I'm looking forward to those things to come. I'm really happy about them. Yes, they're wonderful. And pretty soon my heart's going to flutter a little bit, and I see a girl, and I say, man, I'm going to have to marry that girl. And then the bills come. And then she's going to want a little baby. And then we have to work on that. And then they're come. And so I'm excited about that. I know those are coming. You said, you don't even know what you're doing. Some of you guys ask, what are you going to do? You don't even have a job that you get paid for. You don't have a car that you clock in and clock out. Well, I don't. But let me tell you this, I have peace. I have peace. I'll tell you when I get to that part if I'm miserable. You'll see it in my face. You'll see it. I don't have to tell you. You'll see it. And those people that have peace, you can tell that they have peace. If they don't have peace, I encourage you, you can have peace. It's not just to discern elect. It's all of us. Can we just take that off? Like, get that veil that we always have? Like, he's a good kid, and he's a bad kid. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I have bad things that I do. I have good things that I do. You have bad things that you do, and you have good things that you do. Right? We're overcoming those bad things through the help of the Holy Spirit of God. There's not one better than another. Pastor, just because he's a pastor, doesn't struggle like you or like me. Just because somebody says, oh, Chris has been a good kid all of his life. I'm a good kid all my life. Yeah, right. I was drunk by the time I was 7 years old. I was a good kid all my life. You don't have an idea who I was. I'm glad you don't. But it's not an excuse to do the wrong thing. I'm not glorying in that. What I'm glorying is this. You have access to what peace I'm talking about. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what sin you indulge yourself in right now. You can have peace. It's your choice, though. You know, God gives us choices all throughout life. Every principle in the Word of God is not forced down your throat. You have to make a choice if you want to use it or not. And this is one of those things. Peace. We can have peace. Why? These disciples were scared to death. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, is now crucified and dead for 3 days. And they're in hiding because of fear of the Jews. It talks about that. Look at this. It says, then the same day, verse 19, John 20, then the same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. At least they did one thing right. They stuck together. Sometimes when things get going rough, we need to stick together and not kill the wounded. They're already hurting. We need to help them out. Somebody's in sin. It's not going to help us to say, you know what? You're in sin. I can see it. You should see it. That's not going to help them at that point. At that point, they're probably saying, hey, help me out of this. And we're not helping them by pointing at them. We have to help them out of it. You know what? Your name as a Christian is the same as my name. You call upon the name of the Lord, right? I call upon the name of the Lord. I'm a Christian. So if you drug the name of Jesus Christ through the mud, I'm involved with that, whether I did it or not. I'm personally accountable for that. Well, me saying, well, not directly personal, accountable. Hey, if you sinned, that's your problem. You sinned. And I didn't, you know, per se did it. But in essence, hey, I'm affected because you did that. I'm affected because you did that. If some group of Christians goes around and kills abortionist doctors, guess what? When I knock on people's door and say, hey, I'm a Christian, you know what they're going to tell me? You guys are the same guys that killed those people. I hear that all the time because your name is affected. We're affected because we name the name of Christ. We name the name of Christ. Peace that God wants to give. In the midst of this, look at what Jesus did. Jesus came to them. In the time where they were fearing, Jesus came. He was there. Look at what it says. Came Jesus. After the fact that it says they were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. Hey, what's the ruckus? What's the problem? What's the problem in your life? That's what Jesus is saying. He's right in the midst of it. He's right there. He's right in the middle. He's right in the middle of it. And we can observe a couple of things, and I'm not going to go very long now. I'll be fast here. First of all, we can have peace because of the pain. What do you mean pain? Not the pain we're feeling, but what the pain that Jesus felt and suffered. Look at what it says. And when he had said, he showed unto them, verse 20, his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad. Jesus stood in the midst when they had the problems and said, hey, look at what I did. He showed them the prints in his hands and the fierce side. By the way, when you see Jesus in heaven, you'll know who he is. Because he'll carry those scars for the rest of your life. You know what? Your guilt, you're not going to remember. The bad things that each and every one of us has, the things that we have done, maybe in secret or with somebody else that we don't dare tell anybody here. Because it's just human nature. I'm going to tell you something, things I've done bad. I'm not going to tell you. Those guilt is going to be gone. But Jesus the whole time will bear the scar to always remind you he loves you so much. What peace? Peace. Because of the pain that he suffered. Peace. Because of the pain he suffered. You know what? I don't have to worry about my sins coming back to say, hey, boy, I've been hiding from you. Here I come again to take what's mine. I don't have to worry about that. Because in 1 Corinthians, look what it says. 1 Corinthians. Some of you guys are wondering, am I a good enough person to go to heaven? Am I good enough? No, you're not good enough. Can you get to heaven on your own? No, you're not. You can't get to heaven on your own. But Jesus can help you get there because he's the one that's going to get you there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. By the way, Mohammed hasn't died for you lately, nor Buddha, nor Confucius, nor all the gurus of Hindu. I don't think anybody from the Jehovah's Witnesses died for you, nor the Mormons. But I know one person, nor the Baptist, sorry. But Jesus died for you. Is that good enough? Jesus died for you. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at this. It says in verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know the precedence of working for God, why we go out on the fair, why we do this, why we do this, why we teach a Sunday school, why we have church, why we have this building, why we have everything that we do and minister to other people is simply because of this. Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. All to him I owe. My life, my all. To him I owe. That's why I do the things I do. It's because I owe it to him because he first loved me. And my return is, man, I'm going to love him. And so peace, because of the pain, Jesus paid it all. 1 John 1, 7, he says, for the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Number two, we have peace because of the pain of Christ. We saw that in verse 20. But peace because of the position. The position. Where is God at in your life as a Christian? Is he outside? He inside of you. He inside of you, brother. He's inside of you. And outside is the devil and all his minions, the world and the flesh. And he says this, greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. The peace, the Prince of Peace lives inside of you. The position, who is in control? God. The position he's in. He's the one that's in control. We can have peace. You know, Mark 4, 35, 41, it talks about where they were in the water, and he calmed the sea, and he said, peace, be still. And they said, man, what is the matter of this man? He, even the winds and the storm obey his voice. Man, that's the God that you have. Can you have peace in that? Peace, because of the pain. Peace, because of the position. Three, peace because of the promise. The promise that will forgive sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. By the way, that's talking to you that are saved. Because God saved you, it doesn't give you this magic wardrobe and a magic suit that you can put on. And you, when you put it on, you have no ability. By golly, you don't have no ability to sin. You're wonderful, perfect. Anything you say is beautiful. It's just, is that without malice? No, we don't have that robe. If you have it, I want to have one. You selling it? Man, I'll give you some money for that. I don't have it. None of us have it. We're going to continue to struggle. We're going to continue to struggle. We're going to continue to struggle with looking at the wrong girls. We're going to continue to struggle to listening to the wrong music. We're going to continue to struggle as maybe a bad habit in your life. You laugh at it, but it's true. And it's true. And until you get serious at it, you never have to worry about it. You know, to be, not to scare you, but God says this. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force you anything. He's going to have somebody like me tell you about it. Because He has chosen throughout history to use men. And He is using me to tell you that. But you still have to make the choice. I can lead you to water, but you still be the one to drink. I can cause you to get thirsty by salting you down, but you still have to drink. And you have the choice to laugh at it. You have the choice to ignore it and say, mosey on. And you're never going to have the peace. You're never going to have the peace. You're never going to have the peace. Sin is like a sand in your shoe. It doesn't matter what you do. You're going to feel it there until you simply take your shoes off and remove it. Sin is horrible, I tell you. It not only affects you when you're lost, it affects you when you're saved. That's how powerful sin is, and we play with it. Sin. Sin is the cause of everybody dying. You say, well, he died of cancer, died of a heart attack, or died of a running old car, or smoking, or da-da-da-da-da. Death is caused by sin. I tell you, sin is serious to God. It's very serious, and He wants you to have peace. But if you don't have a good relationship with God, a good fellowship, just like you, when you have a son, and they did something wrong, they're more than likely come to you at the supper table after you're done eating and say, Daddy, I love you. No. Might need to be quiet for a while. And hopefully that they don't have to talk to you because you did something that was wrong. And you know you're going to get in trouble. And so that's the same thing with sin. When we face a holy God, in fact, even when we walk around people that we think are holy because we don't know their life, like let's me use pastor. When he walks down, you know, we think he's spiritual, right? And we have something wrong with us, we kind of skirmish away. Kind of like, I don't want to talk to him right now. But we did something right and we're excited about it. He was the first person we want to talk to and say, man, what's your problem on this? Just an illustration, but peace. Peace because of the pain that Christ suffered. Peace because of the position He is in. He's in control. Peace because of the promise that He'll forgive any of your sins. Grace is greater than our sin. And where did sin abound? Grace did much more abound. You can get rid of that sin. No, I'm not saying you can stop doing it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you are willing. If you are willing. You know, there was a fella last night, a 40-year-old fella from Alabama, black fella, came into the door. I didn't even give him a smile. I said, this guy's not going to talk to me. But I'm asking the question. Are you 50, 75% or 100% sure you're going to heaven? I can't understand. You're talking too fast. Are you 50, 75, or 100% sure you're going to heaven? He says, no, sir, I don't. I said, well, I need to show you. You know what? No one has ever stopped me and asked me that for a long time now. I said, well, I did. You want me to show you? So he said, okay. Sat down. Know the Bible. Know, he can witness to you if he wanted to. He can tell you about Jesus and how He died for you. But it's not enough to know. It's not enough to know up here. It's a decision you have to make. It's simply letting go of what you trust. Some of you guys go to church, and you might endanger yourself because you believe you're a good person just because you come to this church. Or you might be in danger believing that I heard that gospel message over and over, and I know it. But the Bible tells us there is a fruit, and one of those things is peace. It'll be evident in your life. Peace. And you know what? He was bawling, crying at the end. And he said, I never did that. You know what? I know the gospel. I can tell you that. But I knew it in my head. But I have never made myself commit and say, I'm going to trust that. I'm going to trust it like I don't trust anything else. You know, faith has levels. You're going to look at me and say, you're a man. Why? Because I look like it. You can see it with my eyes. But let me ask you this. You have somebody that's precious in your life, and I'm just using it as an example. Your kids. What happens if I take your kids for a whole year? You can't talk to them by phone. You can't talk to them by email. No contact whatsoever. I can do whatever I want with them for a whole year. Let me tell you this. I promise you, I'll bring them back to you better than ever the next year. Would you trust me with your kids? Why wouldn't you trust me? I'm a good person. Why won't you trust me? You know what they say? I don't know you. We know about God, don't we? We know about Him. But really, have we trusted Him with our soul? Because if we have, it'll be evident. If it hasn't been in our life, it'll show forth. A life that is totally trusted in Christ is a peace that I can't ever tell you about. I can't express you how I feel inside. I can't. Do I have a lot of money in my pocket? Sorry, I don't. Do I have a nice car on the road? Do I have a good paying job? I can't tell you those things. But I have peace in living this Christian life. And I wish that you could make that decision to simply look at Jesus. You know, the people were fearing because they were looking at the wrong things. They were looking at the Jews that killed their Lord. When they simply had to turn around and look and say, He's right in the midst of them. Because of the pain, you can have peace. Because of who God is, He's in control. You can have peace. Because of the promise that will forgive all of your sins, you can have peace. And because of the power. In verse 30 of John chapter 20, He said this. And many things that God did. Let me read it to you and I'll be done. John chapter 20, you can turn there if you want. In verse 30, it says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. There's some things the smartest of us don't even have a clue. The things that Jesus did to His disciples while He was on earth, for that little time before He ascended, man, we got a lot to talk about with those guys. I said, Peter, how did your foot taste like every time you stuck it in your mouth? John, what kind of cologne did Jesus wear when you put your head on His breast? I don't know. I got a lot of things to talk about with them. It'll be fun time. But on earth, it'll be fun. I can have peace on earth. I can walk with no fear of what men shall do unto me. Because God's in control. God has done everything for me. And all I have to do is peace. Won't we bow our head and close our eyes? And we'll have the invitation here. We'll have the invitation. If you don't have that peace I'm talking about, you don't have to wait until the song starts. You can kindly stand up where you are and come to the front and talk to the Lord about it. He's the only one that can give you that. He's the Prince of Peace. Sorry, I can't give you that peace that you want me to give you. Man can go so far to comfort you. God has to do the rest. Some of you might not know for sure that heaven's your home. You have no idea that heaven is your home. And if you have no idea heaven's your home, there's people going to help you with that. There's people that are ready, that have prayed up, and want to help you and show you how you can have the peace that God wants to give. If you have some sin that you're battling with, it'll be a constant battle, I tell you. Some of that you might not ever overcome. I'm just being realistic, just being practical. I don't have the what you want to say, you're not going to have this wrong desire ever again. But let me tell you, you can have peace because you can have God to help you. I think sometimes we beat ourselves over the head of the things that we do wrong because we never ask God to help. And we're doing it all on our own. I tell you, you can have that peace. I'm not talking about the peace of salvation. Some of you guys are going maybe to college and you have no idea what's going to happen. You're scared to death. Maybe it's time for you to talk to God and say, God, give me some peace about this. Some of you might have new jobs you're embarking into. Maybe you need to ask the Lord to have you talk about that. It's a good thing. Let's everybody stand up. Page 241.